Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome in. It is another Tuesday night, so welcome in, and in some cases, welcome back. This is the V2V podcast where your voices are heard, your stories are told, and your hearts can hopefully begin to heal. I am your host, Dr. Marcy, America's Voice for the Voiceless, and we are in week two of our Black Business Month focus. And so all of my guests are Black business owners and entrepreneurs. And I'm excited about these conversations and the opportunity to share some of the magnificent and creative ways that our Black brothers and sisters are showing up and making their mark in the business world. And each week when we get together, you know, we have a healthy dialogue about a variety of critical life topics, all in the hopes of providing you some food for thought that can turn into action. And my intention every week is that you will hear something that will either move you, motivate you, or challenge you to make some proactive and sustainable changes in your own life and relationships. And I always say change can't happen around you until it occurs within you. So at the end of the day, it really truly is all up to you. Before each show, I always ask that God use the show to have the conversations that you need to hear. I thank him for the voice, the platform, and the opportunity to become a conduit for healing, recovery, and success. And as a reminder, we are live this evening, and the phone lines are open. So I welcome you to join us in the conversation tonight, either to share your story or ask a question. The number, if you want to call in, is 914-219-0880. And the phone lines will remain open for the duration of the show. And again, that number is 914-219-0880. And so tonight I have another amazing woman as my guest. And her name is Miss Erica Denham. She is on fire, y'all. You are going to definitely get some great nuggets from her tonight. She's been through some things, she's seen some things, and she's definitely overcome and conquered some things. And that's why we called this show Invincible Spirit. And that goes right along with her brand and her whole vibe, y'all. So enjoy tonight's show. Miss Erica is on a mission to help others uncover their purpose and make the most out of their dash, which I absolutely love. And we are definitely going to talk about that tonight as we get into our conversation. Erica has 20 plus years of marketing experience at Fortune 500 corporations and small businesses. In 2015, she founded a nonprofit called Inspired by V in memory of her brother, Kyle. And so we are definitely going to get into that. That was for her to be able to support others who have experienced loss. So it's going to be a pretty serious conversation in some respects, but all in hopes of letting you all see that no matter what you're going through, you can come out on the other side and be successful. Ms. Erica has launched Step Into Purpose, which is an inspirational apparel and gifts company. She started that in 2021. And she's also the author of Invincible Spirit, Unconquerable Soul, Gratitude Journal, and 21-Day Gratitude Challenge. She has a BA from Stanford and an MBA from Emory University. Ooh, you go, girl. Welcome, Erica. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Marcy, for the wonderful introduction. I'm so excited to be here today.
Girl, that invincible spirit, unconquerable soul, you know, you had me at that. We talked about that before. That is so powerful. So powerful.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So I always like to start off every show by turning over the microphone to you as the guest and allowing our listeners to kind of get a vibe for who you are, sort of what your story is, share some things that you've been through. And I always tell everybody it's an adult show, so you don't have to, you know, cut things out or whatever. You can shoot straight and be as transparent as you're comfortable being. So, my dear, the microphone is all yours.
That's terrific. Well, thank you. So let's see, what can I share about myself? I am originally from the great city of Detroit, Michigan. I'm a very proud Detroiter. I am the oldest of two children. My amazing brother, Kyle, unfortunately passed away in a car accident back in 2006. He was my very best friend. I miss him every day. We had a great childhood, but my parents divorced when I was 12 years old. I come from a tight-knit family, and I've always had amazing friends. Let's see, my grandparents, who have been married 75 years, lived down the street from us. So I always had a lot of love around me. And they had a neighborhood store for over 50 years. So they were really my first introduction to entrepreneurship. My mom is my superhero. She sacrificed so much so that my brother and I could have opportunities. We attended a private school, rode school bus every day for years. And my brother and I were both able to attend our dream schools. As you mentioned, I went to Stanford University. He went to Duke. So very proud of that. After college, I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for several years, and I started working in corporate America, began building a career in marketing, did a little bit of sales and relationship management. In 2006, everything changed. My mom called me one morning, and I remember because it was a picture-perfect day, and she told me that my brother was gone. And it literally was like someone had come in and turned off the light in my life. Fast forward to 2015, I started my nonprofit, Inspired by B, in memory of my brother. And we support individuals who have experienced loss, the loss of a loved one, particularly a sibling or a parent or caregiver. We've given out scholarships. In fact, our first scholarship recipients graduated this year, which is super exciting. And then we're soon going to be launching a grief support program. In 2019, I took a huge leap of faith. I left my corporate job to look for an opportunity that was more aligned with my strengths and my purpose. In 2020, I went back to a 9-to-5 job, only this time I was doing work I was really excited about. In December of 2020, unfortunately, I was laid off from that job. But instead of being down about it, I launched my business, Step in Purpose, which, as you mentioned, is an inspirational apparel and gift company. And I published my Invincible Spirit, Unconquerable Soul Gratitude Journal and 21-Day Gratitude Challenge. So through it all, I am truly trying my best to live a purposeful life filled with gratitude. And I'm really excited to share some of my journey with you and your listeners today.
Yeah, I remember when, thank you for that. I remember when you and I spoke about you being a guest on the show. And I think I saw you originally in a group that we were both in. And
yes,
there was just something about you. I was just really impressed with how you just show up, you know. And then once I talked to you, I was like, oh, my gosh, yes, please come on. Please, please, please come on this show. Yeah, you just have so much. And, you know, we talk about a lot of really heavy subject matters because, you know, I do a lot of work in domestic violence. And then I do my change management company really works with abuse and addiction and incarceration and reentry and parental reunification after neglect, and, you know, lots of stuff that is really, really heavy, but it's real stuff. But one of the things that, you know, I always welcome an opportunity to have a conversation and to be able to learn from someone who has some unique experiences that I know nothing about. And, you know, one thing that struck me about you was your willingness to share and be transparent about the loss of your brother. And so I do want to talk about that tonight, even though we're talking about Black business and we're definitely going to get into all of that. But I really want to have you share when you said you got that call and from your mother and it was like the lights went out. And for some people, that just takes them completely down, you know, this path of despair, and, you know, it's almost unrecoverable for them. So will you kind of talk about, can you expand for me when you say it was like the lights went out? What was that, and where did it send you? How did you feel?
Sure, yeah. So my brother was my best friend, and we were 3 years apart. One of the things that I loved about him was I feel like out of everyone in the world, he understood me. And I think some of that is just we have, you know, common origin, been through a lot of the same experiences. But for some, number one, you know, being a little brother, I admired him. He was very driven, you know, handsome guy, very kind. And just everyone loved him, gravitated towards him. He had a smile that lit up the room. And so I remember just being like, this is such, you know, a huge loss. And for me, I had always been somebody's big sister. So it also, you know, as weird as it might sound, it's almost like in that moment, and I would say probably several months after he passed away, I almost had to kind of think about, like, my identity and, you know, who am I now? Am I still a big, there are all kinds of thoughts that go through your head. And what's interesting now, and grief is definitely a journey, and I've been on the journey for a number of years, but, you know, what I realize is my brother is still with me. You know, there are definitely times when I can feel his presence. And so, you know, he's just not physically with me, but he's still with me. So he's still my brother. But, yeah, I think when you experience loss and you experience grief, it can take you to a dark place if you allow it. And I chose not to let that happen, although I definitely had my sad days, because I looked at it like this. And I tell people this, you know, out of all the houses that God could have dropped my brother off at, he chose my house. And for me, I was blessed for almost 26 years, him in my life. I was blessed to know that kind of love. And there are people who go, you know, throughout their entire lives, they live, you know, a long time, and maybe they haven't experienced that kind of love. So when I look at it that way, although of course I wish he had more time, we had more time together, I'm still blessed for the time that we did have.
That's a really powerful way to look at it. Yeah, and 26 is so young, and we do, I mean, you know, I grew up as an only child, and so for me, I didn't establish a relationship with my siblings because we have different mothers, and so I didn't have a relationship with my siblings until I was an adult, about, you know, maybe about 10 or so years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, and so for me, I can't even imagine just having been this long what that's like. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of to lose them, like, I didn't have them. I didn't know them. But now that I do, I can't imagine life without them. And so, you know, I think that's why you, when you were sharing that story and sharing the fact that, you know, you lost him at such a young age, that it really struck a chord with me about how do you, you know, you said it can take you to a dark place, but you didn't allow that to happen. What were some of the ways or some of the things or, you know, what did you pull from that kind of helped either keep you out of it or when you felt yourself going there was able to kind of pull you back to safety?
Sure. Well, so one thing I can say is I am very blessed to have wonderful friends and family. And immediately, you know, those individuals surrounded me and my mom with love. So I, you know, for me, that was a blessing. You know, just it helped me to talk to people. So I always tell people when they share with me that they've lost someone close to them, you know, allow yourself to feel how you feel. If you feel like crying, cry. People deal with loss and grief in different ways. But for me, it was really talking about people or talking to people about my brother, sharing memories, sharing experiences, just remembering, you know, the fun times we had and allowing those individuals to share their stories with me. So my mom says this quite often, but, you know, we lost Kyle. But for me, I gained friendships through his friends. So his friends became my friends. And some of them, because we went to, you know, a small school. So our school was preschool through 12. And we grew, you know, essentially we grew up with a lot of these kids. And, you know, kids in my class had siblings that were in his class. So everyone was very tight-knit. But, you know, after this happened, I mean, his friends, they reached out, they sent letters, their parents sent letters to us. And so it was just really being kind of surrounded in love. So I would say that's one thing that helped. And then, you know, ultimately for me, it was starting my nonprofit. And what the catalyst for that was when my brother passed away, immediately scholarship was started in his name at our high school because he was a lifer, so he had attended first grade through 12th. And, you know, everyone at the school loved him, so they wanted to establish the scholarship. And that scholarship was given out for several years, and then in 2014, the school came to me and said, hey, we need to establish an endowment or the scholarship could go away. And so from there, I had to, you know, think about how were we going to come up with the money to keep the scholarship going. And ultimately, I had the idea to start this nonprofit. And my goal was for us to raise money so that we could give money to the scholarship at the school. But then if we wanted to give scholarships on a broader basis to reach more students who didn't necessarily go to that school, we could do that as well. And you know, to be honest with you, at that point in my life, I was feeling kind of trying to find my way, feeling like, you know, what's my purpose? What am I really here for? You know, of course, I had the corporate job, but, you know, for me, I felt like there was something more. And when, you know, essentially this came about, I stepped into this role of launching a business, launching a nonprofit, and finding purpose through helping others, as well as helping myself, because by helping others, it was ultimately helping me to heal as well. So those are some of the ways in which, you know, I dealt with the loss.
So when you took that leap and you started the nonprofit, did you have any idea even what you were doing? Like, how were you able to accomplish that?
You know, I really just had to do research, and I got online. Well, I will say this. My aunt has a nonprofit. She has multiple sclerosis, and she had launched a nonprofit. So, you know, I had someone very close to me who had a nonprofit, so I was able to ask her questions, of course. But other than that, it really was just trying to, you know, do some research online and figure out, okay, what paperwork do I need to fill out? You know, I needed to establish a board, and I will say it helps that I have a business background. You know, I had 10 years of experience in business, and I work in marketing, so that part is the fun part. But, of course, you know, there's the business side of things, too. You have to have all your paperwork in. So, yeah, it was just really kind of jumping out there and figuring some things out and filing paperwork. And that's how we got started. But, of course, it was a bigger mission for me, and that was to be able to start raising funds to fund the endowment for my brother's scholarship at the school. So at that time, that was the primary goal when I launched.
So did you feel like sort of by starting the nonprofit and being able to support that endowment, was that the thing that you felt gave you purpose? Because, I mean, you already had a pretty successful career at that point, right?
Yes, I did. But for me, I do. I feel like it gave me a greater purpose. And that purpose was to help individuals who were going through some challenges, but, you know, they, with the scholarships, of course, trying to support individuals who are trying to go off to college. You know, for me, education has always been important in my life, and I was given opportunities at a young age. So to be in a position to provide opportunities for others was something that I was really interested in doing. And then as it relates to loss, you know, when my brother passed away, I remember being out in California, and my family is in Michigan for the most part, and just feeling so alone in many ways. And I remember looking for grief support groups, and some of the support groups that I saw were for individuals who maybe had lost a spouse or maybe a child, but there really wasn't anything for siblings. So in some ways I felt, you know, kind of alone and trying to figure out, you know, what resources would be beneficial to me. And so I guess with Inspired by Bee, one of the things that I wanted to create was resources for siblings who would experience the kind of loss that I had experienced.
Yeah, and I can completely relate to that because that's exactly how I got into domestic violence work too, was going through what I went through. And you know, when you go through something and you find yourself kind of flailing out there, like, where do I go? Where do I turn? What do I do? And then you kind of come through on the other side, and you've sort of made it through, but you still have some questions, but you also have some experiences. And I know, and I don't know, like, it sounds to me like I say that survival is a responsibility, meaning because I was able to come through it and gain the experiences that I gained, like, I felt kind of compelled to share that information and, like you said, provide resources. Is that sort of how you felt too?
Yes, definitely. I just wanted to help other people. And it's one of the reasons why I ended up going to become certified as a grief recovery specialist through the grief recovery method, so that ultimately through my nonprofit, we can provide in-person grief support programs. And, yeah, it's like you know the journey that people are going on. And, you know, when my brother passed away, one of my mom's friends, she had lost her son and around the same age, I believe. And I remember her saying, it's a lifelong hurt. Time makes the pain more bearable. And that's really all it does. And it's true, you know. And so I can relate, you know, to people when they've experienced that loss, and especially, like, if it's a sudden loss, you know, you kind of go through these different phases, and the person's shocked. And so I just wanted to be in a position where I could help others.
And so what are all of the services, and, you know, if somebody is going through and experiencing loss and experiencing grief, do you guys do services that are only in a certain area? Is it only in Michigan, or where are you located, and how can they find you? Can they get services with you?
Sure. So, well, right now we're based in Michigan, but we also operate in Georgia, and we have some resources on our website, Inspired by B. So inspiredbythee.com, that's the website. And we also have a scholarship program. Right now, we have our Heart of a Champion Award, and that is for graduating high school seniors and current college students who have experienced the loss of a sibling, a parent, or a primary caregiver. So we usually open up the scholarship program in the spring. So we'll tell your listeners to go to our website in probably January, February timeframe, and we'll have information about the scholarship program. But also, what we're working on is launching an in-person grief support program through the grief recovery method in Georgia. And, it'll be an in-person program.
Okay, gotcha. And that's going to be in Georgia. What part of Georgia?
Atlanta area.
Atlanta area, okay. All right, you guys, so you heard hopefully you guys have made notes, but inspired by thee.com. If you are experiencing that, you know, go to the website, check it out, look for some resources. If they just have questions, Erica, is there a way that they can reach out to people, or do you kind of direct them to other resources, or how does that work?
Sure. If they have questions, then they can always just start by reaching out to me. My email address is edenham at inspiredbyv.com. We're also on Instagram, and we have a Facebook page. So they can also connect with us on social media and then, you know, send a message that way. And we'll definitely get back to them.
Awesome. And then that was also kind of tied in. Is that sort of how what led to the gratitude journal and the? So let's talk about. Okay, first I got to back up because I'm like all over the board because I'm excited. But I want to talk about in your bio, you say you want to help people make the most out of their dash. And I know from reading your bio what you mean by that, but let's talk about that because I think that's such a beautiful concept, and I think when people can get it, it changes things for them. So will you share a little bit about that?
Sure. So when I talk about, you know, really like making the most out of your dash, that is your lifespan from the time you're born to the time you leave here. And, of course, the dash is you know, the in-between. When my brother passed away, like I said, he was young. He was 25 almost. He would have been 26 years old the following month. And then the very next year, I had another loss. My boyfriend, we dated for several years, had a stroke, and he passed away. And he was also very young, in his 30s. And so, you know, that was in 2007. So 1 year my brother, the next year my boyfriend. And I just look at life very differently. And I looked at our time here very differently. And so I made it, you know, I kind of made a vow that I was really going to focus on living a purposeful life and making the most of my time here. So I really try not to waste time if I can avoid it. And I also try to, you know, if something kind of pops into my head and it seems like a viable idea, then I'm going to do everything in my power to go for it and make it happen. And I think losing, you know, a couple of people very close to me at a younger age, it just really changed my perspective on life. So that's what I mean by living your dash. And you know, if you're experiencing challenges, this is what how I think about it. If you're experiencing challenges in your life or valleys going, you know, keep putting one foot in front of the other and just keep going, you know, along your path, because eventually you're going to come out of the other side. It might not happen as quickly as you want it to happen, but eventually it will. So I say that to say, you know, never give up hope that a better day is coming. Each day that you're blessed to see is an opportunity for something different, something more positive to happen for you.
Yeah, I tell clients all the time when we're talking about, like, you know, the domestic violence and stuff, and you know, very similar in a lot of ways, that you can get into this really, really dark space, and you can get this, you know, this mentality of why me, and, you know, should I even bother, and nobody's going to care, and will anybody even miss me, and, you know, why am I even here? You can really go to some really, really dark places, and I tell them all the time, I'm like, it's always darkest in the middle. And exactly what you're saying, like, when you go in, when you think about a tunnel, when you enter into the tunnel, you know, you start out in bright light, and the deeper you go into the tunnel, darker it gets. But if you just keep going through that darkness, then eventually it'll start to lighten up again, and it'll eventually you'll come back out into light. But there is something, you know, finding that something that's going to keep pushing you in the height of the darkness, you know, in the depths of, you know, your despair and stuff like that is, you know, somewhat overwhelming for people at times. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things that I really wanted for you to be able to share, because I think you're right about also that people talk a lot about, you know, losing a child, you know, having a stillbirth, a miscarriage. And then we, you know, at a certain point, we expect that we're going to lose our parents at some time. But we don't ever really, especially that young, expect to lose a sibling like that. And so I think it's not unique, but it's unique from the standpoint of you really don't have people talking about it. So I'm not surprised when you said that you couldn't find resources for it.
Right. Yeah, it's true. And it, you know, if you have siblings have different relationships. And like I said, I was blessed to have a wonderful relationship with my brother. But definitely, you know, it's a unique loss. And for me, it's like I said, I keep up with my brother's friends, and sometimes I still to this day I get very sad, mourning kind of the things that I haven't been able to experience with him, the things that, mm-hmm. the milestones that I haven't been able to see with him. Like, I think he would have been a great husband and a great father. And, you know, that wasn't able to happen. And he has a number of his friends have gone on to become spouses and parents. So sometimes I mourn the things that could have been, and mm-hmm. it makes me sad. But like I said, you know, I know that he's still with me.
So have some of his friends, have they turned into like surrogate little brothers for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so funny because there are two individuals in particular who, even when we were growing up, I always kind of looked at them as my other little brothers because the three of them were so close. We all rode the school bus together, so I looked out for them as well. But definitely, I mean, they have really been there for me, supporting my nonprofit. I remember when I launched my nonprofit, our first fundraiser was a trip to Cedar Point Amusement Park in Sandusky, Ohio. And the reason that I wanted to go to Cedar Point was two reasons. The first reason was that was one of the last trips that my brother and I had taken together. I remember we'd gone to Cedar Point and we rode a roller coaster together. I'm sure we rode several together, but there was this one in particular that we rode together, and it just stood out in my mind. So, you know, I wanted to go there. It's one of my favorite amusement parks. And the second reason that I wanted to go there is a roller coaster that at the time I was so scared to ride, called Millennium Force. And I just thought, wow, what a perfect way to launch a business, which is to conquer a fear that I have, along with some of my greatest supporters, some of which drove from Atlanta to Sandusky, Ohio, to support me as I launched my nonprofit. And, you know, we all got on this ride together, and when I tell you, it was an awesome feeling to just conquer that fear. And at the same time, you know, that was our first event as a nonprofit organization. And one of my brother's best friends, one of my other little brothers, he was there with me on that day. And it just meant so much. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
That's beautiful. And it's beautiful that you can, you know, look back and have so many fond memories and, you know, really be able to kind of all of you share in the experience that was Kyle, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. I definitely, you know, I was kind of smiling as you were telling the story because that is such a beautiful way to do it. Like, you're overcoming and you're getting through so many things. And so that's very, very representative of exactly what you are, you know, advocating.
It's true. I mean, you know, like we were talking about, life is literally, you know, full of ups and downs, right? And twists and turns. So mm-hmm. I never really looked at it that way. But, yeah, that was our first fundraiser. So, good experience.
I think that's super cool. And so how did you come up with the name Invincible Spirit, Unconquerable Soul?
Oh, wow. So, yes, Invincible Spirit, Unconquerable Soul. So this goes back to my time. I was working in corporate America at a Fortune 500 company, and I, you know, good company, a lot of good people, but I really was not in the best, I wasn't in a job that was the best fit for me. And in some ways, I went to work every day and I tried, you know, to do my job, but there were a lot of challenges and ultimately I wasn't very happy, and I just didn't really feel valued. So, you know, it just popped into my head, invincible spirit, unconquerable soul, because I had to fight almost like every day for my, to keep my spirits lifted.
Yeah.
And over time, you know, when you kind of, you're just going through the motions at some point, that can be hard to do. And so that idea just popped, it popped into my head. And I remember writing it down, and I came up with an idea to create a T-shirt that said Invincible Spirit, Unconquerable Soul. So that literally for my business, Step in Purpose, before it became Step in Purpose, that T-shirt was my first creation. And it had everything to do with how I was feeling at the time. But yeah, ultimately I ended up leaving that job, and I just took this huge leap of faith and I quit. And that's not something that I advocate everyone, you know, do. It's probably best if you kind of have a plan.
Right.
But it was, you know, for me, it was probably a good move. And I'll tell you, when I remember walking out of the office door for the last time, it was the scariest, most freeing experience I think I've ever had in my life. And so I took about 7 months off, and I traveled a little bit. I kind of explored some different things. I tell people I experienced what life is like outside of the cube. So I went to different workshops on entrepreneurship, and I started kind of just jotting down ideas for my business. And I also, as I mentioned, I got certified as a grief recovery specialist, and I was able to kind of experience and start thinking about ways that I could expand my nonprofit and start that grief support program. So I did some really cool things. And then in May of 2020, I got another 9-to-5 job. So I kind of went back to the office. Only this time I was heading up marketing for a small business, and I was working at a company that I thought and felt that their values aligned with some of my core values. So it was great. It was a different experience. And then talking about my journal, because you know that is the Invincible Spirit, Unconquerable Soul Gratitude Journal and 21-Day Gratitude Challenge. So while I was at this company doing marketing for them, I decided to launch a 21-Day Gratitude Challenge. The reason I wanted to do that is because, of course, COVID was happening in 2020. A lot of people were feeling pretty down. I wanted to just give people a boost, some of the employees. We had about 50 employees participate in this 21-Day Gratitude Challenge. Every day for 21 days, I would give them a quote in an email, as well as an activity to do. So one of the activities might be reach out to someone who's made an impact in your life, have a conversation with them, and in your gratitude journal, write down who you talked to, what you talked about, and how it made you feel. And the response that I got from doing these activities, it was amazing. There was one young lady, she lost her mom, I remember, around Thanksgiving. And she told me, Erica, I could have gone down this path of being depressed. She was like, but going through the challenge helped me to remain grateful. So, I had different stories based on that experience. And, yeah, so I just decided to call the journal Invincible Spirit, Unconquerable Soul.
Yeah, I just, like, that just resonates so strongly with me. I absolutely love the name, and I love the concept of the gratitude challenge. I used to, I haven't done it in a while, I don't entertain as much as I used to, but they used to have a jar that sat by my front. It looked like almost like the Rub the Genie type of a, like a glass jar. And then next to that was a pen and paper. And so, you've motivated me to just start doing that again, because I used to do it just for myself even. But it sat right by the door, and so if you came in the door, you could write down something that you were grateful for that day. And then the concept is at the end of the year, then I could go back, dump it all out on the floor or at the table or whatever, and you just start reading some of those things. And you can do, I mean, you can dump them out and read them at any time. So, you know, it might be a situation where you're going through something or you're, you know, just maybe you had a breakup or whatever. You're just not feeling your best. And you kind of start feeling that kind of just gnawing, like, ugh, life sucks kind of attitude. And then you can pull that out and you just start reading through them. And I remember one day I was doing that. I was reading through some. And one of the ones that I came across, it was something so simple, but I had taken my friend's daughter. She was about maybe about 2.5 or 3 at the time, and I had taken her to the park, and we fed the ducks. And it was really cool that that was on that piece of paper. And so when I opened it up and I read, you know, that note, that what I was grateful for that day, I was able to, it literally transported me back to that day, and I could think about that experience. And I mean, there's really nothing like the enthusiasm of a toddler when they're, you know, at the park or they're feeding ducks or they're playing with a puppy or something like that. And so I love the whole gratitude concept because it can do so much for your well-being. And so, yeah, you really motivated me in this conversation too. Because this, as a matter of fact, I still have the jar, but it's not by my door. So I'm going to move that. I'm going to start doing that again.
I love, like, thank you for sharing that. I love that you did that, because I can imagine that as you were reading, you know, these moments that had transpired, it probably brought, you know, a smile to your face. So no matter what you were feeling, you know, prior to that, it maybe, you know, put a smile on your face. And how wonderful is that? Especially if you're having, you know, not such a great day.
Yeah, and I can't remember, you know, what made me dump the jar that day, because it wasn't year end. Like, it's really conceptually was designed to do on, like, New Year's Day to, like, review your year before, right? But like I said, there's so much that you get out of it that I was like, oh, I'm not waiting till New Year. So I would just do it whenever I was just feeling kind of blah, or, you know, I had a bad day or something didn't go the way I hoped, or I didn't get a client that I thought I was going to sign or something. Like, it could be anything. And sometimes I would dump the whole jar out, and sometimes I'd just reach in and grab like 2 or 3 and read through them. But it's exactly what you're saying. Especially that one, that's why that stands in my mind so much, is with the one with the ducks, because it literally changed my mood that day. Like, right. I was transported mentally and emotionally back to, you know, that fun time and that happy time. And like I said, the enthusiasm of a toddler is pretty contagious. So
yes,
to be able to use that to kind of go back there is very, very helpful. And so that's what I love about, you know, the idea and the concept of a gratitude journal. So in your journal, is it guided like that? Are you giving people kind of challenges and things to do in there as well?
Yes. So it's set up similarly. There's a quote of the day. So this happens, you know, for 21 days. There's a quote and an activity. And then there's beautiful pictures as well. And after you get through the 21 days, there are plenty of actual just journal pages so that you can continue to writing your journal. Because the reason that it's 21 days is they say it takes you about 21 days to form a habit. So you go through those exercises for 21 days, and then The hope is that you will continue after that. So, yeah.
I said everything can be a habit in 21 days except working out.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is something I'm working on at the moment.
Wow, I tell you, it'll be a habit for 21 days. It'll be a habit for 6 months. But as soon as you quit for like 2 days, it's like, oh, my God. Like,
right.
And I drag myself back in there again. Okay, well, I want to take a quick break, give you a chance to get a sip of water. I'm going to take a sip of water, and then when we come back, we're going to kind of shift gears and really talk about Black business and entrepreneurship, and I want to talk about your grandparents and their 75 years together and their store and, you know, all of that. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back, y'all. Y'all, welcome back. This is the V to V podcast, and that song was Closer by Guapale. And tonight, this is the V to V podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Marcy, and we're talking Black Business Month, and tonight's guest is Ms. Erica Denham. And before we went on break, we had been talking about overcoming grief, and we've been celebrating the life and the impact of her brother, Kyle, and how his loss actually inspired some good things that came out of it and some amazing work that Erica has been doing. So the phone lines are open, and we'd love to have you call in, share your story, ask a question. That number is 914-219-0880. And then I also wanted to repeat the website. If you have experienced sibling loss or you're interested in the scholarship that they offer, this opens up in the spring. They're serving Michigan and Georgia, and that website is inspiredbythe.com, T-H-E-E, inspiredbythe.com. So, Erica, before we went on break, I mentioned to you that I wanted to back up, and I wanted you, in your intro,
you shared how amazing the amazing support system that you had around you. But one of the things that you said was that you had your grandparents as kind of like this beacon who were together for 75 years and they owned their own store. Tell me about your grandparents and what that was like and what that impact looked like.
Oh, wow, yes. My grandparents are two amazing individuals. They are 94 and 95 years old. My grandmother's 95. My grandfather will be 95 in September. And we just actually celebrated their birthdays in Detroit last month. But, yes, they have been married almost 76 years. And they had, at one point, two stores in Detroit. But they had one in our local neighborhood for over 50 years. So it was like a little variety store. And, you know, you could go there and get chips and candy and, you know, something to drink. I think at one point earlier on, they actually had a lunch counter where you could get really, you know, great sandwiches and soft serve ice cream and all kinds of things. So, yes, I remember as a little girl going to Grandma and Papa's store and helping, you know, serve the customers and as a treat, you know, I could get an ice cream, some ice cream or some penny candy or something to drink. And it was a lot of fun. And I think one of the, you know, best things that I learned from my grandparents was how important customer service is. And, you know, it's always treat people like you want to be treated, treat your customers well. And I will say, you know, people really looked out for them over the years because of that, those relationships that they built. So.
50 years having your own business in Detroit as Black entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. And when you think about, because when we think about the time, right? So Dr. King was assassinated in April of 1968, which was about 53, 54 years ago. This is like in the height of the civil rights movement and all of that. Do you remember them telling, like, have they shared with you any stories of what it was like to be a business owner at that time?
Well, I will tell you this. I remember one of the stores that they had, my mom shared this story with me. One of the stores actually, it didn't close because of the race riots, but they had, in Detroit, you know, they had the race riots. So one of their stores was kind of in that area where some of that took place. I believe. And so, yeah, I mean, I've definitely heard stories about, you know, some of those, that particular time, and just kind of, you know, being in business during those times. So definitely there were some challenges, for sure. But they actually ended up closing the second store. It had more to do with some health challenges that my grandmother had a little bit later on. And so they kept the store that was closer to our neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, to me, that's just, first of all, being married for 76 years, one or both of them have, like, fast tracks to sainthood because I don't know how anybody does it.
Well, and you know what's really funny is
amazing.
My grandfather, I think he was about 89 or so when he retired.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
89?
Pardon me?
I said 89?
Yes. 89 years old.
And he just loved what he did, or was it to get away from your grandmother for a few hours a day?
You know, I really do think it helped keep him young. You know, he, I think he loved what he did. Like, he had developed some great relationships over the years. We called him the mayor of like our little community, Delray. So he was the quote unquote mayor of Delray, and it gave him something, you know. Honestly, in his later years, it gave him something to do, and it kept his mind sharp. He would go to, you know, the wholesale house. I remember trips to the wholesale house to go get the supplies and things, the products to sell. And I definitely that's a long time to work.
It really is. But, you know, if you love what you do, I guess then, I mean, they say if you love what you do, then you never work a day in your life. I don't know about that, because I love what I do, but some days it still feels like work.
Exactly.
So I don't, yeah, know if I don't know if I fully resign myself to that concept yet, but ideally, that's what they say. Did you feel like being able to see them thrive and maintain such an important presence in the community? And do you think that played a role into you wanting to go into, like, the business field and become an entrepreneur and go into marketing and all that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely feel like,
oh, did I lose you, Erica?
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I said their business definitely inspired me to want to launch a business, and to also just feel like I could launch a business. And, you know, like I said, my grandparents, I'm blessed, or my family's blessed, because they – you know, they still can, they're, you know, they're just still very sharp. And mm-hmm. So as I was preparing to launch my business, you know, I've kind of talked to them about my plans and, you know, asked them for any advice they had. And it's just great to be able to kind of sit with them and listen to some of their thoughts and some of the things that they've learned along the way. So, great role models, great mentors.
Absolutely. To be able to sit at the feet of wisdom, like, there's no better teacher than experience. And so, guys, I always tell my kids, like, learn the lesson, don't take the class, meaning learn from my mistakes, don't keep making them.
Right.
And so to have that there as a resource for you as an entrepreneur and new business owner at the time and all of that, like, I can only imagine how wonderful that must be.
Definitely.
So you said you went, because I don't want people to miss this, because I think sometimes, you know, you and I talked before about those Sunday blues. About how Sunday comes along when you're working at a job that you know you're not happy, you're not fulfilled, you feel like you're overworked and underappreciated, undervalued, and all of those things. And then, you know, Friday comes and you're like, hallelujah, I can breathe. And then you can only breathe for like 46 hours, because then Sunday's coming, and that feeling. And so what was that like? So what was the tipping point when you said, you know what, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And then you walked out.
Yeah. So first of all, yes, I remember those days. And those were terrible days, because Saturday was amazing. You packed as much fun as you could into Saturday, because by – like 2 o'clock on Sunday, you started feeling sad. And honestly, that's terrible, you know? And so I think, you know, I guess, like, when you literally are sad getting up on a Monday to go to work, and you know, I or when you start kind of having health issues, then I think it really is time to kind of reevaluate things. You know, someone said to me, listen, if you have a stroke or if something happens to you, like, I'm sure a few words of sympathy will be shared with your loved ones, but the reality is you're replaceable. Mm-hmm. So nothing is worth your health. Nothing is worth your life. And if you're kind of starting to get to the point where, you know, you're sad more than you are happy, and then honestly, money is great, but you know, there are definitely other things that are more important than money, like your health.
Right.
Then it's time to start looking at other opportunities. And for me, I had honestly just kind of reached the point where I just wanted more, I think. It goes back to what I shared about time and how I felt like I don't like to really waste time. And I started to feel like, you know, this just isn't it. And I hadn't figured out exactly, I guess, like, you know, what that next move was. I just knew I had to get out of that particular situation because it wasn't benefiting me in any way anymore. I mean, of course, I was getting a paycheck, but honestly, it just wasn't worth it overall. So I decided to take a chance on myself, honestly, and I just really stepped out on faith, and I figured, you know, I had experience, you know, at that point, and I had education, so I figured I could make it. And by taking, now sometimes you have to get out of your own way, and honestly, I probably should have made the move sooner, because at the end of the day, I'm one of those people that I try to, at times, you know, it's like, oh, I can make the situation better, right? I can figure it out. Like, I'm good with people. I can, you know, build the relationship or fix the relationship or whatever.
Yes.
And sometimes you stay too long. And I think because you want to kind of give, you know, you want to try all you can before you give up. But sometimes you stay too long. So that's pretty much what happened with me. And then I reached a point where I said, you know what, I can do better than this, and I'm going to. And I just took that step.
Yeah, and I think if anybody's listening, as Erica pointed out earlier, ain't nobody on here telling y'all to go into the office tomorrow and quit your job. That is not what we're saying. So save the Walmart. Are you giving bad advice? You got crazy people on here telling people to quit their job. No, that's not what we're saying. But we're saying, if you keel over from a heart attack because the job is stressing you out, they're going to have your position filled in 24 hours. There'll be a job posting put up. So be mindful of that. So you worked in Fortune 500 company. How do you feel that experience prepared you for entrepreneurship?
Well, for me, let's see. I would say, I mean, specifically, you know, I've my career has been focused mostly on marketing and a little bit of sales. I used to be a hotel sales manager at one point. So I feel like it's prepared me in a lot of ways. Well, first of all, I have worked in, you know, the big companies. So like I have done work as far as managing a website. I have at a smaller company or a couple of different smaller companies, I've actually built websites. And so I've worked with a lot of different contractors and freelancers and agencies. So I get a lot of that. And one of the best experiences I had, actually, it was right after business school. I worked for a small company, and I headed up marketing for them. And at the time, they had built their business on relationships, but they hadn't done much marketing. So they were starting from scratch in a lot of ways. And I had to learn how to be scrappy because unlike some of my classmates who had graduated from, you know, business school and then gone off to big companies and they had big budgets and big teams to do things, I had to figure a lot out on my own. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had to train myself on a lot of different things. I had to figure out how to do a lot with a little. I had to build content from, you know, the ground up and leverage, you know, my writing skills and my negotiation skills and things like that. So it really taught me how to be scrappy. And also, I think one of the biggest things I learned from my boss at that time, you know, he always would say to me, be fearless. And I think when it comes to entrepreneurship, you really have to do both of those things. You have to learn how to be scrappy, and in many ways you have to be fearless.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with both of those. And you do, you wear so many hats. You just never mm-hmm. know if you're HR that day, if you're accounting, if you're sales, if you're marketing.
Right.
If you're the coach,
sure.
the counselor, the therapist, but like, what am I today? What hat am I wearing on? Why didn't I send Erica her information when I was supposed to?
That's true. And yeah. And you know, the other thing, I think this is interesting. I feel like in, you know, just the society that we live in, the digital world that we live in now, especially being online, you, see a lot of ads where people are saying, hey, like, do these things and you'll be able to make all this money. Well, I think one of the things that I learned just by, you know, I guess being in the marketing field is a lot of times, you know, you're running these campaigns and you're trying different things. And then it's like you're trying to see what works and then you make adjustments accordingly. But I think mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, a lot of the ads you see, it's like there's almost like a magic formula or a magic pill to make tons of money. And I think when you really kind of venture out on your own, you realize that, you know, a lot of it is just trying to figure things out. And
mm-hmm.
what worked for one person might not work exactly for you. You can always learn things from individuals who kind of gone before you, or maybe they're in a similar industry or they have a similar product or service, but your journey is going to be your journey. And so I, you know, that's something that from talking to other business owners, I always kind of remind them of that, especially if you have individuals who are trying different marketing tactics, but things that, you know, maybe sales aren't going like they dreamed. It's like you do have to put a lot of work behind it still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just think that's something to remember.
Yeah, and it can feel pretty defeating sometimes. When I first started in entrepreneurship, I was still in corporate at the time, but I had, you know, my side hustle and everything like a lot of us do. And I was selling an agent for a nutritional supplements company. And, you know, you go to those shish, boom, bah, woo-ha-ha rallies and they get you all hyped
yes.
up. And, you know, I love the product. Matter of fact, I still use the products. But it wasn't for me. Like, okay, yeah, I see some of y'all out here making, you know, all this money, but I did this. I mean, I did the strategies I thought. But I was saying, you know, that I wasn't having no $100,000 in sales like y'all talking about from the stage. Like, wait a minute, I'm over here struggling and drinking shakes. Like, I'm doing little home parties. I feel like the Avon lady of protein shakes. Like, no, I don't want to. It wasn't. But so you're right. Like, I think, you know, we feel like, and when I left corporate and went into entrepreneurship, that's what I felt like. I felt like oh, I've learned this. You know, I was a bank executive for 30 years. I know strategic planning. I know marketing. I know, but I went from having a corporate budget to no budget.
Right.
From,
right.
like you said, having a team, I am the team.
You're the team.
You know, having brand awareness to having no brand at all. Like, it wasn't the same thing. We were not comparing apples to apples at all.
Very true. Very true. And yep. it takes, you know, it takes time. It takes energy. It takes a plan, a strategy. It takes measuring results and making tweaks. It takes all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do experience overnight success, but for many, that isn't the case. And I just think that it's always important to remember that and just keep at it.
I was listening to an interview by Charlie Wilson one time, and he was, you know, they were talking about his longevity in his career and his level of success and his, you know, I mean, he has a brand, you know, Uncle Charlie, right?
Definitely.
So they're talking to him, and I'll never forget this because he said, I'm a 20-year overnight success.
Mm.
And I was like, wow. You know, and then I've heard other, like, one of my mentors, he always talks about, like, what you see now, just because you just met me yesterday, I've been doing this for, you know, 20 years.
Right.
And that's what I think we forget is a lot of times, you know, when we're looking up to and we're admiring and mentoring with other entrepreneurs and people are where we're aspiring to be, we forget that they had 10, 15, 19, 25 years of just what you said, trying to figure it out and making tweaks before they got to the point where they were on a platform for us to see them.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and there's a lot of, in many cases, there's some hard times that maybe you may or may not hear about.
Child, so, who's telling?
Yeah. It's
who's
true.
Telling? There definitely are. So you went back to corporate. So what prompted that?
Well, I mean, honestly, I feel like at the end of the day, you know, I launched my business and at the end of the day, you have to be able to pay bills, right? So for me, I did, you know, go back to a 9-to-5 job. But I look at it differently. I still have my business, and I still have plans to grow my business. I have big plans. And I look at it like, well, this is going to help me fund the dream, you know?
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. It's like, I feel like sometimes when you – I'm going to put it this way. I'm in a much different space now than I was back in 2019. Because I am still working on, anytime that I'm working on my business, I am in my happy place. And I'm so excited about what I'm working on, what I'm putting out there into the world. And when people, you know, especially like with my journal, hearing the stories about, you know, it's like, boy, Erica, you taught me about gratitude. That makes me feel great. So, you know, it's a much different experience now. And then the other thing is I learned that it's really important to just kind of take a look at, you know, who you are, what you enjoy doing, what are your natural strengths. And if you can find a 9-to-5 job that aligns with that, then – you know, then it makes things easier. It makes things better. It makes you happier. So I think I've kind of changed things a little bit, and I've tried to focus on, you know, what I value, what's really important, and what are the things that are going to make me happy. And so that's how I'm moving forward.
Yeah, and I asked that question from because I wanted people to hear, because sometimes we can feel like once we step into entrepreneurship, if it's not enough to sustain our livelihood and pay our bills, that if we have to go back into, getting a 9-to-5, going back into a corporate job, working for somebody else, there's this mental shift that you have when you go into entrepreneurship, like, yeah, I'm about to own my time, I'm about to own my life, like, I don't have to answer to nobody, all of that, but we don't necessarily think through all of the other little nuances that come along with entrepreneurship full-time. And so because we've mentally shifted into that gear, the idea of going back into a corporate environment or getting a job or doing something, quote, quote, building somebody else's dream, as, we call it, and that's a negative thing. And so I love the fact that you're able to share and show and demonstrate that it doesn't have to be a negative thing. You can still, two things can be true at the same time.
Absolutely.
You can still be working on your dreams.
I totally believe that. Yeah, you don't have to give up on your dream at all. And you can definitely do both. Even if, it's like, okay, I work 9-to-5 during the week. When I come home, I'm working on like some social media posts or something, or working on, my email campaign or something like that. And then on the weekends, maybe when you have a little bit more time, you can focus, let's say a Saturday. You can spend a few hours on Saturday just getting your social media content ready for the next week. So there are definitely things that you can do so that ultimately you're able to do both. It just takes more planning.
Yeah, it definitely takes some planning and some strategizing, for sure, definitely. We have about 5 minutes left, my dear. Will you repeat for the people in the back how they can find you, and share real quick, what are you working on right now? What's going on in your world right now?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, how can you find me? First and foremost, my company's website is stepinpurpose.com. Like I said, we have inspirational apparel and gifts, so please go to the website, check us out, t-shirts, mugs, posters, and then, of course, my gratitude journal with a 21-day gratitude challenge. Let's see. And then you also mentioned my nonprofit website, inspiredbyb.com. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook. And what am I working on next? To be honest with you, I am working on, I want to do a 21-day gratitude challenge with my journal for the faith community and groups. So that is something that I am working on, and hopefully it will be ready to go before Thanksgiving. Oh, and I also wanted to offer your listeners, if you go to my website, the discount code for you is gratitude, and it'll be a 20% off discount. I wanted to share that as well.
Perfect. So 20% off on her website, y'all. Make sure you use the promo code, which is gratitude, and the website is stepinpurpose.com. So make sure you go there, that you check it out. Real quick, Erica, before I wrap up tonight's show, do you guys do, like, customized apparel or anything like that? Can people, like, go through to order, like, if they wanted to create a T-shirt or anything like that?
We don't do that, at least not yet. Sorry.
I was thinking for my own selfish purposes. But, no, I'm definitely going to check out the website because I love, like, creative and inspiring teas and stuff like that. So I'm definitely going to go on there and, support what you're doing. So thank you so much for coming on tonight, for sharing and being so transparent and so vulnerable. I really, really, truly appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you as well, Dr. Marcy. I'm so glad we connected. This is a wonderful show. And thank you so much for having me join you this evening.
Absolutely. So remember, guys, stepinpurpose.com. You can get your apparel there. Use the coupon code gratitude to save 20%. Get your gratitude journal there. And then if you are experiencing sibling loss and would like to find some support and resources, you can go to her website, inspiredbythee.com, and that's T-H-E-E. And for us, guys, that is it for tonight. We are wrapping up tonight's show. I hope that you heard something, that we shared something, that we said something that motivated you, inspired you, or challenged you to take action in your own situations and circumstances. If you missed any of the episodes, all of the 2022 episodes are on our website at 9seconds.org/V2V. So 9seconds.org/V2V. There is also a form there if you'd like to be a guest on the show, or if you have a topic that you would like for me to seek out a guest to discuss. And we love your feedback. So if you missed any of the episodes, that's where you can go find them. Thank you all for listening in. Sustainable life change is well within your reach. Just remember that. And in the meantime and in between time, guys, this is Dr. Marcy, America's Voice for the Voiceless, and Erica and I are signing off, and we wish you all health, safety, and success. So we link up again next Tuesday. Have a good night, everyone. Good night, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you so much.